Greetings from Environmental Health Trust. We're delighted to talk with you today about a historic moment in our lawsuit against the FCC. We are talking with you today about something which will have long-term impact on all of our lives, and we are pleased that the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia issued their ruling in the case of the Environmental Health Trust et al. Versus the FCC. The court concluded that the FCC had really failed to meet their statutory requirement to take a serious look at the extensive scientific evidence that EHT and other expert groups had submitted to the agency since 2013. Human exposure guidelines were last set in 1996. At that time, gas cost $1.23 a gallon. This was a quarter of a century ago when Shaquille O'Neal and the late Kobe Bryant were just young basketball players. The world is very different. Times have changed, but the FCC has not. And in 2019, the FCC insisted that they could rely on the same standards of 1996 for evaluating wireless devices without showing any consideration at all for the thousands of pages of scientific evidence that Environmental Health Trust and many other expert groups submitted as part of this record. The court specifically noted that there was a huge gap and that the agency had never showed that they had looked at all seriously at the record that had been submitted. And they specifically said that the agency had violated their legal responsibilities under the Administrative Procedures Act, effectively ignoring the massive body of science relevant to evaluating harmful effects of exposure to 5G, cell towers, cell phones, and wireless technologies. Ask yourself this: would you like to drive in a car that had 25-year-old safety standards or fly in a plane with 25-year-old standards? Effectively, the FCC ignored thousands of pages of submissions. We will hear today in this press conference from Professor Hugh Taylor, MD, PhD, who is chair of the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Yale University and president of the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, who has written more than 500 articles in his field of specialty. We will hear from Paul Benishai, who directs a laboratory that is devoted to studying millimeter wave technologies. We will hear from the attorney for Environmental Health Trust in this case, Edward B. Myers. The case was argued by Scott McCullough from Children's Health Defense, as we were required by the courts to work together with them. And that is part of the success of this case, is that collaboration. Robert Berg is an attorney who has been working on the issue of wireless radiation for quite a long time. And finally, our executive director, Theodora Scarrato, will introduce as well the comments of other petitioners in this case, Cindy Franklin and Elizabeth Barris. We're delighted that the court has found that no agency is above law. The FCC failed in its duty to establish a reasoned record of decision-making. Environmental Health Trust and our expert scientists from France and Turkey and Israel and Brazil and other nations have provided extensive evidence showing that current levels of cell phone radiation are not protective of human health and the environment. As I pointed out in my book, Disconnect, which was first published a decade ago in 2010, the FCC has clearly indicated that wireless radiation right now, they argue, cannot have an effect on children. They don't need to change the standards. Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics has joined with others in saying the standards need to be changed. The GAO has repeatedly issued reports and requests in response to requests from Congress in the 1990s, in 2001, and more recently in 2012. And each of those reports says the same thing: we need more research. But in 2012, the report said that the agency needed to specifically examine its standards with respect to children and whether or not there were growing evidence of effects on reproduction. In 2013, the FCC opened another notice of inquiry. They've been asking for information for a long time. Thousands of pages were submitted. In fact, Environmental Health Trust conducted seminars for the FCC at which the FCC participated in 2009, in 2012, in 2014. FCC staff attended those seminars. We brought scientists into the FCC and provided several expert briefings, submitting this extensive evidence. But think about this. When the standards were last sent, the average call was thought to take 6 minutes, was made by a large guy with a big head. Phones in 1996 cost thousands of dollars back then. Calls were not very frequent. Even worse, it was assumed in 1996 that all people carried phones in holsters on their hips. And because of that, the standard for testing is now no longer relevant to what happens today, when millions of people store phones in tight pants pockets, or sometimes even in their bras. This standard, when phones could be tested an inch off the body, no longer applies in the era of 5G, when we will have millions of new antennas in neighborhoods, some of which can be just feet from bedroom windows, and billions of new wireless devices, part of the Internet of Things. The American Academy of Pediatrics has submitted a number of letters to the FCC. Those were ignored. Our evidence was ignored. And then just before Christmas of 2019, without providing any proof of deliberation or any conclusory statements indicating they had even looked at the evidence submitted, the FCC suddenly closed the notice of inquiry that had been open since 2013, concluding that its 1996 human exposure limits that were 25 years old did not need to be updated. That is why we took this historic legal action. Children's Health Defense case was joined with us by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We are pleased to say that in August 13th, 2021, the court issued a decision recognizing the abject failure of the Federal Communications Commission to consider effects on human health and the environment. Specifically, the court found that the FCC had failed to address impacts on long-term wireless exposure on children, on people injured by wireless radiation, on wildlife in the environment, and on the developing brain and reproduction. And I quote from the order, "The FCC order fails to acknowledge evidence of negative health effects caused by exposure to RF radiation at levels below the limits set by the Commission's 1996 guidelines, including evidence of cancer, radiation sickness, and adverse effects on sleep, memory, learning, perception, motor abilities, prenatal and reproductive health, and children's health." I urge you to read the order, which is available on the FCC website and on ours. The court remanded the issue back to the FCC for reasoned decision-making. This is an agency that has operated above the law for decades, with a revolving door of leaders that come from and go back to the telecom industry they're supposed to regulate. Harvard University in 2014 published a report concluding that the FCC was a captured agency, unable to exercise appropriate independent authority, specifically saying that the wireless industry was using tactics of big tobacco, attacking scientists and funding sources. As I wrote about in my book, Disconnect, the wireless industry has wargamed the science for several decades. It ignored, for example, the evidence from the Department of Interior Fish and Wildlife Service, urging it to consider effects on wildlife and the environment. It ignored extensive evidence showing that radio frequency radiation can affect pregnancy outcomes, such as the research we will hear about from Professor Hugh Taylor of Yale University that found damaged memory and hyperactivity in animals exposed prenatally. Astonishingly, the FCC also ignored and dismissed the findings of the National Toxicology Program. What makes this astonishing is that the FDA had ordered this study from the National Toxicology Program had reviewed the study design throughout the history of the study, had approved and evaluated the data. And then when the results came out showing clear evidence of cancer, DNA damage, heart damage in animals, the FDA decided that the study they had ordered and designed was somehow not relevant. This means that all of the animal testing that we do to develop drugs and vaccines, as well as other things, would be invalid if you said they're not relevant to humans. I wonder whether the FDA was thinking that animals should be making phone calls to make a relevant study here. The fact of the matter is the protocol used by the NTP in their $30 million study was the best that could be done and is relevant to humans, as many other scientists have written, as you can find on our website, and published in the peer-reviewed literature. We now join with experts from the American Academy of Pediatrics and other organizations and call on the new FCC in the new administration to bring independent expert scientists without corporate ties to inform regulation and see that it rests on the latest scientific information. We look forward to working with the new FCC that can finally take a look at all the information that the old captured FCC ignored.